Good afternoon. I'll let you all know that for you research entomologists, this is going to be quite a little different talk. But I'm glad to be here this afternoon and presenting this. I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Pete Goodell, who's the IPM area specialist for University of California Cooperative Extension. And so also some other people who have contributed to this, Marcia Gibbs and Luis Gallegos from the Sustainable Cotton Project, that I'll explain a little bit later. Neil Fox is a PCA, licensed PCA that works with the College Farm in Fresno. And my son assisted me with some economic factors on this. Those of you who spend time out in the cotton fields and in the labs, entomologies, should be aware that a lot of things are happening around the world and what's going on around us today in the way of the consumers' demands and marketing, and that these things are changing over time. And the public is gaining a lot more concern about the environmental issues, and that's driving things in business as well as practice. As a consequence of this, relevance in agriculture has declined, and people are totally disconnected from the food supply. And in many instances, dealing with environmental concerns and issues, that policy is way ahead of science on some of these decisions. I'd give you a case in point. In California, the Delta smelt is an issue that is drying up the San Joaquin Valley just due to decisions on policies versus the actual science on this declining species and how it's potential for that. But also impacts groundwater pumping and access to other resources. But companies are taking it or positioning themselves in this developing systems to address these issues and environmental concerns, mainly in developing sustainable programs. Some major suppliers, and retailers, and wholesalers that you might recognize on this that are impacting in the food chain that are taking up and developing sustainable issues on this, largely driven by concepts of consumers' demand and developing sustainable programs to try and work with products that are have higher ecological values. This is largely driven by the concept of the triple bottom line that Elkington in 97 kind of described, based upon economics, environmental issues, and social equitability as definitions. There are formal definitions of sustainability you're all aware of that are important. The tenets of these principles are outlined in this draft. Some of them make a lot of sense. From the economic perspective, is pretty straightforward. In the San Joaquin Valley, impact us is issues on water quality, energy use, and conservation. And in the social equity is dealing with labor, community, human resources, or capacities. What I've underlined or highlighted this one is what we're talking about today is more product responsibility and how that affects and affects these things as far as going on. I think this is evident out in the foyer today in the Safe Denim, as far as the Lubbock group that is producing fiber to products that can identify that, so going on. And if you've attended the general session yesterday and heard Wallace Donnell's talk on that and how those are positioning that to address this marketing demand. And Janet Reed's workshop yesterday in Cotton Incorporated, dealing with sustainable issues in cotton and its impact on the environment and helping to define that and address some of the myths that's associated with cotton production. All these things are important and they're going to drive home these issues. I'm very sensitive to this in California because of our complex commodities and the systems that we have and how different organizations and associations are positioning themselves in this capacity. For example, the California White Growers Association coming up with member agreements of working on producing wine for gosh sakes, as environmentally sound production, socially equitable, and of economic feasibility. All of those key things that are in this bottom line. The Almond Board. We produce 95% of the state's almonds in California. And this is where they've defined that and reaching, talking about scientific-based research. I like the common sense addition to this with respect to the environment, neighbors, and also employees. The result is producing of health and safety food, five almonds. And recently, as the last week of December, United fresh, major shippers of fresh tomatoes products coming on with identifying protocols and activities that policies and practices and that's the tomato, fresh market tomato industry is expects to do that. We could substitute expects in a few years with requires or demands that are going to require these facilities that meet the food safety requirements for that. So these are happening, and I think as working with insects and pesticides and any agricultural chemicals, we have to be cognizant of these impacts on what's happening in our food chain. That's changed the business decisions to a certain extent, in that we see that green consumers, greening of the consumer base, is in fact putting pressures on retailers and wholesalers to account for carbon credits and impacts on environmental concerns, and that's being channeled up into processors and farmers and so forth that are driving this in the marketplace. Comments a couple times yesterday in the general session that emphasized these changes. That used to be reversed, and it was a little different, but this is the way things are shaping up, and that's going to continue to impact business. That puts us sort of the U.S. cotton producer in somewhat of an awkward position right now, so maybe an uncomfortable position sitting on that apex of that triangle. I think, but it's driving home the point that we have to get on board with these things and make a difference in that and implement this into our production practices. And certainly insect etymology really affects this. Well, I'm going to talk about comparing two systems, the basic system, which is the biological agricultural system in cotton. It's a program that was initiated through some propositions in California to sponsor biologically activity in commodities. They have a program going on in almonds, and cotton has been in place for about 15 years. Compared that to a standard IPM practice, and look at the difference in the way of pest control, lint yields, and how it impacts the triple bottom line on that. The field, I'll let you all know, right, researchers, there's no replications in my talk, and there's no statistics. I mean, I could have had some mean squares comparisons on this, but most of my statistics is done by RGB. That's a Roberts gut RGF, which is a Roberts gut feeling analysis on this, and as far as its significance. But the field, we have a 20-acre field on the college farm at Fresno State. We farm 1,000 acres, has a dairy, animal units, grazing pastures, mixed cropping from citrus and grapes. We have our own vineyard and winery, and 200 acres of open ground that we grow forages and stuff for our dairy. But we have an annual acreage of cotton that we use as a working lab for student projects and activities and some applied research activity. Our 20 acres is divided in half. I wanted to cooperate with the basic program, but I didn't want to just do the entire acreage under their protocol. I wanted to compare the systems. So we split our 20 acres, and half of it was managed by the basic. That they supply technical support and recommendations and sweeping, and also release of beneficial insects as part of the biointensity of their program. And our standard half was managed as we would, based upon a PCA recommendations of pest controls and standard UC guidelines for thresholds and management and activities going on. If anything, well, okay. Yeah, and please keep in mind that, you know, this is a simple, not replicated, it's a classic side-by-side demonstration extension model that has been effective for some 80-some years of being effective in showing responses on this. The if anything, I hope to use this as a challenge to get etymologists to start thinking along these lines and develop a more thorough analysis of how to compare these type of systems for the future. This is our ligus counts, and I'm focusing on ligus in this talk. We did monitor aphids and mites and foliar feeding worms as part of our insect complex in the San Joaquin Valley. But ligus is our major yield factor, particularly in 2008. This is the basic sweep counts on weekly counts as far as adults and nymphs and through this calendar basis. I apologize, that's actually 2008, not 2004, but showing a general increase in populations as well as associated nymphs, and then some declines over time. Now, there is debate going on as to the accuracy of those numbers. This is the PCA evaluation, and notice the count on that early June, under our very high scoring period, where we actually reported 50 sweep LIGAS per 50 sweeps. That means they were pretty prominent in the field, and quite a distinguished difference, and it's being contested and debated right now, but it is a variant. You have two people looking at things differently and different dates and things, you're going to have variations in numbers. But based upon the plant damage that we saw and the absence of squares, I think that this is more of a representative number that we actually had at that time. But we'll look at that. The again, going back to the basic data showing, green arrows indicate cutting of alfalfa on that field. By the way, our 20 acres was bordered on the north by alfalfa. We grow for the dairy, on the east and west by corn and sorghum, respectively grown for silage crops for our dairy. But we did have staggered cuttings of alfalfa in this window of time, which definitely influenced our LIGAS populations and movements and the thing. The blue arrows indicate our pesticide treatment applications that we put on for the over-the-top materials, the ground rig. We were an island in an urban center of Fresno, so we do all of our materials by ground, and we have restrictions on what we can use in that environment. Timely applications that were there, and this was done in collaboration with the basic people as far as deciding their treatment levels and times to do this, and so forth. We were all sub threshold levels for LIGAS based upon our UC guidelines, but this was again in concert with other pests and the complex that we were dealing with for mites or foliage feedings and activities. Interesting year, 2008. This indicates a cleanup spray for aphids and whiteflies going on in September, which protected our crop through that month before defoliation in October.